But this is in those hard times. Sun will fade out, moon cloud over, stars fall out of the sky, cosmic powers tremble. And then they'll see the Son of Man enter in grand style, his arrival filling the sky, no one will miss it. He'll dispatch the angels, they will pull in the chosen from four winds from pole to pole. Take a lesson from the fig tree. From the moment you notice its buds form, the merest tint of green, you know summer's just around the corner. And so it is with you. When you see all these things, you know he is at the door. Don't take this lightly. I'm not just saying this for some future generation, but for this one too. These things will happen. Sky and earth will wear out. My words won't wear out. And around verse 32. But there is that day and hour. No one knows that. Not even heaven's angels. Not even the Son. Only the Father. So keep a sharp lookout. For you do not know the timetable. It's like a man who takes a trip. He is leaving home and putting his servants in charge, each assigned a task, and commanding the gatekeeper to stand watch. So stay at your post, watching. You have no idea when the homeowner is returning. Whether it is evening, midnight, cockcrow, or morning, you don't want him showing up unannounced with you asleep on the job. And I say to you, and I'm saying to all, stay at your post, keep watch. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the many blessings that you pour so graciously into our lives and into our world. And this morning, as we come before your throne, we thank you, O Lord, for the words that you are speaking in our midst. We pray and ask that, having heard these words, that you will let the meditations of our hearts come before you, Lord, that you may speak into our very own lives. I thank you, O God, for the words that you have shared with me. I pray and ask that as I speak, that the words that I speak, that they may be pleasing and that they will be acceptable in your sight. For these things we ask together in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm not sure. I'm a preacher, so I tend to have a certain slant in looking at the world. But I don't know if any of you have noticed. Have you seen that there is a little bit of talk that's going on about the end of the world right now? Have you noticed this kind of talk that has started to come up? It's been a little bit over a couple of thousand years since Jesus lived and was resurrected from the dead. And the promise that Jesus gave to a first generation of followers, people that had not known Jesus at all, but the promise that Jesus gave to them was that as he was lifted up from the sky, as he was lifted up into heaven, that Jesus would return soon. And since this time, it is kind of interesting because since this time, it has been extraordinarily popular around the millennium to begin predicting the return of Jesus, that this is going to be the time that Jesus is going to return. You may remember, well, maybe not, but you may remember again, I understand, I'm a preacher, so I take a certain slant on these things, but how many of you remember around the turn of the millennium this year, the year 2000? Nice big number, nice even number, but 2000, does anybody in this space remember Y2K? You remember those predictions about, you know, our computers are going to crash, airplanes are going to fall out of the sky. We didn't have autonomous vehicles at that time, so I don't guess we had to worry about any of that. But you know, Y2K was one of those moments. It was one of those moments. But then if you pay attention, around millenniums, and this happened not only in our millennium, but it's happened before us, and most likely is going to happen again. But you'll also notice that there's this kind of pattern that emerges. And again, you know, I understand, I'm a preacher, and we get into these esoteric things at times. But you'll also notice that around every 20 years or so, these kinds of predictions of the end of the world, these kinds of predictions of dire things that are happening, they start to pop up again. You know, the new millennium was wonderful because it was 2000, this nice even number, but then 2020, another, I mean, how eloquent is that number, that 2020? And so then there was these predictions that started popping up about, you know, what was going to happen around, you know, this 2020. And then we found ourselves moving into a global pandemic. And did you ever hear talk about the end of the world around COVID and around COVID that was happening? And so this talk that emerged that came there, and then we come through that, we come through 2020, and we find ourselves, well, with Russia invading Ukraine, and then we find ourselves right now in the middle of Israel and Hamas. And so again, these predictions about the end of time, these predictions about the end of the world. And even as we meet this morning, you know, our own prayers that are once again met, that non-combatants in our world will be protected. Prayers that we lift up for hostages that need to be rescued, even in this moment. Jesus reminds us that there's times that you will hear of wars and times that you will hear of rumors of war. In fact, if you need an additional reminder, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm sure that it is coming, that it is got to be on the way. But if you need additional reminders, I encourage you to start looking as we come to the end of the year and the first of the year. Notice your checkout counters at the grocery store. I know a few years ago, I saw this wonderful headline that talked about three predictions that show that the world is going to end in 2023. And we're getting extraordinarily close to 2023, but, you know, that prediction hasn't come to pass yet. And I don't know, you know, how reliable those sources at the checkout counters are. However, what I do know is that this does emerge over and over again. And it's almost taken from the words of Jesus. Some will fade out. Did you notice those words that Jesus spoke? Some will fade out. Moon will cloud over. Stars will fall out of the sky. Cosmic powers are going to tremble. Same word as Jesus oftentimes get used. In hopes that a book may be published. In hopes that a new movie may catch on. And yet what Jesus reminds us, and what Jesus is really interested in uncovering for us, is not necessarily predictions and not necessarily timetables, but Jesus is reminding us of promising us what our children were reminding us too, that Jesus will return. The promise of angels gathering people from every corner of the earth, probably not a surprise to you this morning to be reminded of that. Those who have waited patiently, those who have longed for the return of Jesus, such an entrance that no one will miss it, that is what Jesus promises us. That is what Jesus says to us. And yet, there is a call for people like us, people who long for the return of Jesus, people who look with expectation to God for this day. People like us who gather in Advent, not only preparing for Christmas, but once again preparing our hearts for that day when Jesus will return. Jesus sends us, and did you notice this in this morning's scripture? That in the Gospel of Mark, that Jesus invites us, that in all of our preparations, Jesus sends us outside to look at a fig tree for a lesson. Now, what in the world is this about a fig tree that is outside? And then once again, Jesus will remind his own disciples and us too. From the moment that you begin to notice the buds on a fig tree, from the moment that you begin to see hints of green, you know that summer is right around the corner. And then Jesus will once again remind us, this is not for future generations. This is for us. This is for you now. And we look. We look around at what's happening around us. We study it. We prepare for Christmas and Advent. We don't bury our heads in the sand. We don't ignore anything. We try, as Jesus reminds us, to discern the season that we're in. Now, this can be an extraordinarily hard lesson sometimes, to discern what season we find ourselves in. And yet, in all of this discernment, Jesus steps in once again, reminding us, and in fact teaching us, sometimes for the very first time, that even in discernment and seasons, that no one knows exactly the hour or the day. Jesus says, I don't know it. Jesus says, the angels in heaven do not know it. And he says, in fact, it is like a man who takes a trip. And as this man takes a trip, he will put a gatekeeper out front to stand watch. And imagine the difference it makes when we realize that when Jesus invites his own disciples, and even us this morning to see this, imagine the difference it makes when we realize that we are those gatekeepers. Imagine how our lives change when we realize that we are the very ones who are standing watch, remaining awake as God, the owner of the house, prepares everything in that house for us. And you may be thinking, wait a minute. This sounds familiar not only in the Gospel of Mark, but it also sounds familiar in the Gospel of John. Because Jesus faced this own moment in his own life when Jesus would begin, and people get extraordinarily uncomfortable when people start to do this, but Jesus begins to talk about his own death. He gathers his disciples, the ones who have reminded him as well as anyone else who would listen. You know, we left everything behind to come and to follow you, Jesus. He gathers them around and he reminds them, he says, well, I'm going to be leaving you. I'm going to go away from you, but you will see me again. And in fact, he says, how many of you remember this? This is John chapter 14. In fact, what Jesus will say, he will say, in my Father's house there are many mansions. You remember that? Jesus says, in my Father's house there are many mansions, and if it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there you are going to be with me also. Now the disciples, having those reactions that, well, all of us tend to get when the people that we love, the people that we're close to, when they talk about their own deaths, they say, well, surely not. Surely not, Jesus. You're going to be with us. You can stay with us a little bit longer. And Jesus says, no, I'm going to go. And I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, what is really interesting about this is because what we are reading in the Gospel of Mark, this is what biblical scholars will call the little apocalypse. Apocalypse is a theological word. It just means uncovering. But uncovering what season we're in, uncovering what is going to take place. But what is really interesting about this, that in the Gospel of Mark, we have the earliest version of the story of Jesus. And then in the Gospel of John, we have the latest story, the one that's closest to our own time, that is written about the Gospel of Jesus. So you have the earliest and you have the last that are coming to this moment of talking about this place that God has prepared for us. This place that God has went into the kingdom of heaven that has prepared for us. And so Jesus in the Gospel of John reminds us that in my Father's house there are many mansions, there are many rooms, there are many dwelling places that are there so that where I am, there you can be also. Now Mark reminds us at the very beginning. And while we are here, and while we find ourselves here in our own preparations for Advent, and our own preparations to receive Christ into our world, we are here to stay at our post. We are here to stay awake. Yeah, we may not know the exact day, we may not know the exact hour, we may not have the perfect calculation that predicts the end of time or the end of our world. But what we do know is that we know that Christ, in this very moment, is making room for us. And we know that in the meantime, that as we gather and as we stay awake, we know that there is a table of Jesus Christ that has been prepared for us. And we know that as we eat and as we take of this bread and as we take of this juice this morning, we recognize that it is enough to sustain us in this very moment and this very place where we are. And our call as followers of Jesus Christ. In fact, our mission as followers of Jesus Christ is to stay awake. And perhaps along with our own wakefulness, maybe capture a little bit of that same excitement that we saw witnessed in our children as we enter our own season of Advent and our own season of preparation. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we do thank you. We thank you, O God, for the promise of the return of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray that in the name of Jesus, that you will prepare us in our hearts, and that you will prepare us in our lives, Lord, to stay alert, to stay awake. And Lord, as we prepare with hearts that are awake, with eyes that are wide open, we pray, O Lord, that you may meet us at your table, and that you will equip us so that we may feast at your table until your Son, Jesus Christ, returns to this earth. For we pray and we ask this all in the name of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Amen. All of you to come and to gather around this table. You know, in our church, we recognize that this is a table that goes well beyond us. We recognize that Jesus Christ is the one that invites us to come to this table. You do not have to be a member here at Grace Point to come and to receive. You do not have to be a member of the United Methodist Church. Jesus does. Reminds us that all who seek to live at peace with God and also live at peace with one another, that they are invited to this table. And so as you hear us offer words of invitation to this table this morning, I do want you to prepare your hearts and prepare your minds to come and to receive. You'll be given some instructions later, but recognize that all of you are welcomed. All you are invited at this table. And if you would you bow your heads with me? Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you. We thank you for your presence that we have witnessed. We thank you, O God, for this season that we find ourselves in now. And pray and ask that you will continue, O God, to let us be awake. Continue to let us be alert through this season of Advent. And Lord, we thank you for these mighty acts that you have accomplished in Jesus Christ. We thank you, O God, that you are the one who brought the Israelites through the Exodus. We thank you that you, O God, are the ones who redeemed those and saved Noah through the flood as well as his family. And thank you, O God, for the mighty acts that you're doing in our presence and in our world. And as we prepare to come to your table, we pray and ask, Lord, that you may lead us in the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray and we ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
This being the first Sunday of Advent, we remember that Advent comes, we get the word from actually the Latin word adventus, which means coming. So today we remember that Jesus Christ came into our world as a baby, what, a little over 2,000 years ago, but also that he lived and that he died. Some of you may remember back when we had live Christmas trees, we would have the tree up during Advent and Christmas, and then it would be, the branches would be removed and the tree would be made into a cross for Lent and for Ash Wednesday Lent and Good Friday. And it was a reminder that what we do today, you know, we come to remember that Christ came into our world, but we also remember that Christ died on the cross for us. So Advent is a time where we not only remember what happened there, but we remember that Jesus Christ also comes into our lives, into our hearts, into our situations today. He's present with us. He comes today. Amen. And then as Eddie has reminded us and the song reminded us, we anticipate that Christ will come again. And we don't dread that. We look forward to that. So we remember all of that today on Advent. So I remind you today that on the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, he gave thanks to you, he broke the bread, gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died.
Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
That's what Advent's all about. So I'll turn this back over to the pastor.
And I would like to invite you, you will notice that it is part of our tradition here that you will come down to the front and that you'll be offered a piece of the bread, and you can place that into the chalice and then you can consume it. And then you can return to your seats if you would like to. If you would like to take a moment, you can pray and you can pause at the altar. You will also notice at times that people will bring a gift. The gift that is placed on the altar, you may wonder what that is for. That's for benevolences that happen in our community. So I want to invite you to come. Pat, if you would come and if you would receive, and as Pat receives, and we have a prayer, and then she'll begin to pray, and then you can come as the Lord guides you.
Christ given for you.
Amen. It's the blood of Christ that is shed for you. You can go, Bill.
Jesus loves you. This is the body of Christ broken for you.
The glory.
And Christ.
Christ's blood that's shed for you.
This is the body of Christ broken for you, Barbara.
It's the blood of Christ that is shed for you.
Mark, the body of Christ broken for you.
This is the blood of Christ shed for you. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that's given for you.
Even the blood of Christ.
And Jesus loves you.
Rose is the body of Christ broken.
And Jesus loves you.
Lillian, the body of Christ broken.
And Jesus loves you.
The body of Christ broken for you.
Make him me. And Jesus loves you. Is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's given for you.
This is the body of Christ broken for you.
Christ's blood shed for you.
This is the body of Christ broken for you.
The blood of Christ given for you.
David, the body of Christ broken for you.
It says the blood of Christ is given for you.
Feel the body of Christ broken for you.
Blood of Christ given for you.
Joe, body of Christ broken.
Good to see you.
Joe, Christ's blood is given for you. Thank you. blood of Jesus Christ that's shed for you. Thanks be to God.
Body of Christ broken for you.
Thanks be to God.
Shed for you.
It is the body of Christ that is given for you. The blood of Christ that is shed for you. We'll pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for the gift of your very own Son, Jesus Christ, that you give so freely to us. And Lord, thank you for Margaret and her life that she lives in you. Continue, O God, to bless her and continue to be present in our lives and in our world. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.